Steve and Jill here.
Hi.
Welcome to the Land Academy Show, entertaining land investment talk. I'm Stephen Jack Butella.
And I'm Jill DeWitt, broadcasting from sunny Southern California.
Today, Jill and I talk about understanding money in life. And no, this is not going to be a lecture.
Okay.
Jill said yesterday she's concerned this is going to be a lecture. No, it's not. This title came up for me, and it made it to the light of the show. Because people ask me this stuff all the time, and I have been walking around the planet incorrectly perceiving a couple of things for quite some time, and I think it's funny that I've been, you know, misconceiving this. So we'll talk about it in a minute here. I think people understand accounting just because I have an accounting background, and I think people understand real estate, and that's just not correct. That people need to understand, you know, or I need to be more clear, I guess I should say.
Okay.
Are you taking notes?
I am.
About what?
Not about that. No, I'm just taking notes and thinking about some things I want to talk about with this.
Nobody understands money better than Jill, and I mean that. Most of the people I've ever had any type of relationship with are true cost centers, and Jill is truly a walking profit center, and I'm amazed about it all the time. Whether it's at the grocery store, or buying a primary residence, or buying a trailer park. She just gets it.
And
I don't think there's any better compliment. Well, there's probably some better compliments, but.
Thanks.
For a former accountant, there's no better. It's hard to find a person like that.
Thank you.
Before we get into it, let's take a question posted by one of our members on the landinvestors.com online community. It's free.
For the record, I think I learned there's some stuff that you taught me along the way and really helped with, so thank you. Yeah. I don't get all the credit. You helped. You're good. You're awesome. All right.
This is a repeat question.
Oh.
That I made a mistake. That it's actually from last Tuesday's question.
Oh. Let's sub it with a different question.
So let's.
Or want to make up a question?
Yeah, make up a question is okay. What I was going to say.
Let's make up. If I were going to read a question today, you want to just read this one?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll read this
one.
Okay, Luke M. wrote, "Hey guys, I hope everyone had an amazing Christmas. I'm looking into Landmasters for helping me with mail merging and data scrubbing. I want to hear everyone's input if they have experience with them or any suggestions on another VA service with these features to help me with the data part of the business. I've heard Jack and Jill mention outsourcing what you aren't good at and focus on the strengths to be more productive. I suck at the data side of the house, and I was curious if anyone had a better company for these components or if anyone's had a bad experience with Landmaster services. Thanks so much and Happy New Year." I want to add one little thing first real quick. Don't worry anybody about mail merging, because O2O offers to owners will automatically do that for free. No, that's...
Landmasters, here's the story of Landmasters. Mm-hmm. It's a group in the Philippines run by an amazing person named Jillian. And she and her group, they contacted Jill and I years ago, at least 2 years ago, right?
Oh gosh, more like 4 or 5 years ago. Four, I want to say.
And so at first I'm like, who the heck are these people and why do they want to like infiltrate our stuff and we don't need any help and we've got a lot of stuff in place. And then after about a month of trying her out, I'm sure she probably had two people at that point. She's probably got 50 now.
Right.
I really realized her work ethic and... the first day was just like yesterday for us. They go the extra mile. You know, I can't thank them enough. So there's a lot of people in our group that use Landmasters, and you'll find them. Just contact anybody or our support at Land Academy, and we don't have a formal agreement with them. We don't make any money off of each other. There's none of that business going on. But she just gets it.
Mm-hmm.
That said, I would not, this is personally now, ever outsource the data part of this, ever. I would find somebody like me in a group that needs somebody like you, Luke, who, if you're not a data person, you're probably on the other side like Jill is. You need to find a Steve, like the way that I found a Jill, so that you can really together complement each other and have different talents and kill it. I probably, there's not a week that goes by that I don't say to Jill, you know, what would we do without each other? Mm-hmm. You know, there's two of us and it's so much easier. Mm-hmm. And it's not just the data and the sales part. It's just bouncing stuff off of a partner, mm-hmm. or saying, you know what, this isn't working. I need another set of eyes on it. Or should we do this deal? It came in, I'm not sure. So I would really seriously encourage you to get some type of business partner. What's great, Luke, and I would encourage everybody to do this, is to really sit down and say, you know, if I had a partner, what would they be? What would mm-hmm. they look like? Because it just changed my life when Jill and I joined forces.
You know what I would use them for when you're starting out, though? If your time's, you know, critical, there's a lot of things that you could have input into a spreadsheet that will help you do your due diligence. I would totally use them for that. Like, say, once a week you send them all these properties that came in, and they fill in the back tax information. They pop in some images for you. They can double check the flood stuff for you. They can check, you know, the zoning for you, make a few calls. There's some calls with the county that you need or something like that. They could do some of that really monotonous, look it up, plug it in kind of information, and that would speed up your work.
Exactly.
That's a great place to start. And then how you do that is make them videos. Give them access to wherever you want the information input, and make them real simple step-by-step videos where you're screenshot showing them where you want them to look it up, where you want them to plop it in, what the numbers are, and then let them go. And they'll do that. It'd be great.
Yeah, the rule has been, since we started, the rule has been if you can film it in a, you know, less than 3-minute video, like a screenshot, not yourself, but a screenshot of what you're doing, some repetitive task, and they do it over and over and over again, populating databases. Like, they can do the red, green, yellow test. There's all kinds of stuff like that they're okay. very good at. I heard they're answering a few people's phones right now. One person even has somebody giving them parameters on negotiating a deal, certain deals. So there's a lot of different, and Jillian's constantly expanding the services she provides. So, I mean, this is not a formal endorsement, but we wouldn't use anybody else.
Yeah. If you're going to use a VA, we really trust them. Mm-hmm. That's it. They've got the experience and the trust with us. So,
today's topic, understanding money in life. This is why you're listening. This topic came up because, like all topics, like it seems like this week, is I've answered it probably 3 times separately for people and recently, and so then it becomes an episode. Mm-hmm. So I think understanding money, I was talking to somebody at a party actually last weekend or during the holiday season, and I'm just amazed at how there's such lack of education for stuff that really matters in life. Like high school, Jill and I are old enough to go to remember home economics. I don't know. I think they call it health now. Mm-hmm. But why isn't there an entire high school class about money and budgets and how a mortgage, just basic stuff on the pros and cons of a mortgage, and just basic stuff that all of us seem to have to figure out on our own and fail at a few times before we get it.
And a lot of kids, like me growing up, my parents didn't talk about that stuff in front of kids.
Me either.
That was like behind closed doors, you know, kind of thing. We didn't know about what the mortgage was or what the payments were going to be or interest. And if parents were, even if they were worried about it or any of the decision-making process, that would have really been helpful. No, all we had was home ec. I learned how to make brownies. Big deal. I learned how to sew a dress. Yeah. Trying to think. Maybe how to write a check. Big flipping deal. You know, but even that, I don't know if they do that anymore.
Right.
So now kids don't even know what a check is. Okay. They know what Venmo is.
That's okay, though.
And Venmo, they don't know how to write a check. You're right. And we had typing skills. Don't have that anymore.
You know what they have now, and all of us obviously do, is Google. So that, and this is my point, the point to my topic today. You got to ask these questions about it. And I see younger people of all ages going to Google, asking a question, me included, I think I get the answer, and that's it. And I'd spend that much time on it. That's the problem. If you're going to get a mortgage, you really got to go ask some people that have an unrelated interest in however you're going to do it, meaning they're not going to make any money off of you, not a mortgage broker, to explain how the whole thing works. And then my whole point of this is you got to do some research. You have to, if there's any, money's important as hell to me. And I think some people can't stand a topic and don't care and think, you know, mm-hmm. we all should have it and it's just how it is. But understanding money in life, to really to me, means doing a lot of research on every single thing that you, a financial decision that you're going to make, and doing a budget every month and looking at a bank statement every month. You know, balancing a checkbook, which you never have to do anymore.
That's true.
That gosh. Really was forced you to.
That was
to
my
stay
job.
Inside the lines.
That was always like for years early on, we had to do that. That was my job, you know, not with my parents' family, but like other stuff.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's interesting.
I grew up in an environment where, for whatever reason, having a car payment was like the devil.
Yeah.
And but I've talked to people my age and obviously younger that say. They were always taught that having a car payment was an investment. It would get you to the places that you needed to go to make money, right. Which I think is just a crack up.
Yeah.
So understanding money in life has to do with asking a lot of questions and putting all the little pieces together that go into what you're spending and what you're bringing in every month.
Do you have any big words of wisdom for a brand new investor with a family, with a wife and kids? It's 2021. I'm listening to this show for the first time. I'm married. I have a lovely wife. I have a 5-year-old and a 2-year-old. Their names are Skip and Ricky. Dreaming this up here. And we live in Houston. And we have a dog that we just got the boys for Christmas.
Oh, jeez.
So now you understand why I need to make this extra money, okay? So that just laid the... Oh, and I have a mortgage, by the way. We have a $250,000 house that we're paying a mortgage on. All right. I don't want to move. I mean, I just want to get this going. I need to make more money. You know, my job... I have a job, but every day it's touch and go. I don't know if it's going to stay there. We don't need more. So I found Land Academy. Or I found something else, whatever it is. I want to be an investor. I'll just say I found Land Academy. I want to be an investor. What the heck is this understanding money in life? Because this is the one show that I tuned in on because I want to make sure I can do this. What words of wisdom do you have for me?
Well, you obviously have a job.
Yes.
And maybe your spouse does too, your wife.
Nope, she's stay at home.
All right, so theoretically then, your job's covering your costs.
Yes.
Or it's coming really close, plus or minus. Hopefully it's, you know, you're at zero or better or in the black. Do not touch that money to do any investing. You hold on to that job and you deal with it and you go on your way in that job as if you're going to work there forever, because that's what the people that are above you want to see out of you. Okay. You get involved in the Land Academy thing or whatever you choose to do, or the Convenience Store Association of America, if that's what you want to do. And you research the hell out of it for a few months. We're not even getting into the money yet. All this stuff is free. Research the heck out of what you're going to do or what you want to do or what's possible. It might be that at the end of 6 months, you just haven't found it. It's not, didn't work for you. This is my whole life. I still do this stuff. I just looked at buying a nursery, you know, like for plants, because everybody's sold out. So I still do this stuff to this day. You know, I have no business owning a nursery and I'll never buy it, but I still just think it's fun. So do a ton of research, don't borrow any money, and learn how to buy and sell property, and at the same time find a business partner like us, and that's yesterday's show, find a partner, a place for to get the money in the form of a partnership and somebody to learn from. That would be my recommendation.
Thank you.
What would you recommend?
No, I have no changes. I'm just asking. I'm the guy.
I think that your little cute little story is...
That's a lot of people.
Assuming that. No, but I know, I think you're assuming that they're at zero, because that's at zero. Yeah. But I think more people there are in the red than are at zero.
Oh, that's true.
And so piling that stress on yourself, am I going to pay my rent this month or mortgage? That's tough. Mm-hmm. I think that before you get into a Land Academy environment, you might want to address that, what's going on there.
There you go. Understanding money in life to me is sounding like... Like, this makes me think of, how much do I need? How much do I think I need? And how much do I really need? And making conscious decisions.
Yeah, so, I mean, how much do you think you need?
How much do I think I need? Oh, this is very good. I think I could live on $5,000 a month.
So do I.
Okay.
That's great, Joe.
Thank you. Now, how much do I want to do? Well, way more than that, obviously, but I know I could. I could live somewhere else if I wouldn't be living on the beach, and that's okay, but I could be living and having a nice life. So, for me, just wrapping up on this, I'm just thinking big picture, and I hope that gives you something else to think about too. Okay, money, we got to have money, and you know, we have a long way to go here with, hopefully you have a long life, I don't know what I'm saying, a lot of years to plan this out. Hopefully you're young, yeah. And I would just be thinking about, what do I really need? Setting goals. I like thinking about money and life right now, 10 years from now, and I don't know, 25 years from now, and getting myself on that plan and being conservative and smart and realistic. That's the part that's hard for people.
You know what I think? Money doesn't play an accurate role or an appropriate role in the vast majority of people that I know.
What does that mean?
You need to sit down every week, if not every day. I do it every day. Oh. And think about it and understand it and respect it and save it or spend it or whatever. But it's really, I just grew up in an environment like that. My dad was an accountant. So, and I think that I'm sure we talked about money all the time. Mm. And not in a bad way, in a good way. So no, it was taken very, very seriously. And I don't see people taking it seriously. I see it, especially in our government right now, which I don't want to get into, but it's just like, I've never, ever seen the kind of spending that's going on. And, right. And I don't mean in all governments, especially in California.
I did not grow up that way, and your way is better. My mom paid the bills, everything got paid. My dad would pay, my mom would pay the bills at the beginning of the month, and we live on what's left over. My dad we'd go out and do all kinds of stuff and then try to pay the bills at the end of the month. Like, it was awful. My mom's like, you can't do that anymore. It was kind of weird. So it wasn't until I was an adult and getting out there and paying my own bills that I really understood the value of money. I really understood budgeting and planning and making sacrifices. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I think this is a huge point, that you have to learn to sacrifice to get where you want to go.
Exactly.
And a lot of people can't do that. They're all very, I want it now, short term, I got to have this. No, you don't. Just wait.
I mean, the two things that are going to cost you the most money ever in your life are marriage and children.
What about even more than colleges? College education's out up there, too.
College is a profit center for the vast majority of the time.
I hope so. Yeah. Okay.
Well,
I don't
know. Let's say to get a 4-year accounting degree, which will pay out in spades even now.
If you choose the right program.
Yeah. I mean, that goes without saying. If you're going to get a Bachelor of Arts degree in.
That's what I'm saying. You spend $200,000 on it.
Medieval literature, you know, that's not going to pay out the way. But no, if you have a 4-year college degree at a state school, is probably $100,000, maybe less.
I don't know.
The price has changed so much by region and all that. But yeah. I think that's for tuition. That's pretty close. Maybe a little more. But you're going to make that the first year.
Cool.
So I can't believe a college is an expense. No, I think that. I mean, if two people get together, it used to be this. Two people, very young people, get together, however you want to describe that. Join forces, pay one rent instead of two. Now you have dual income. You hold off for having kids for at least 10 years, maybe more. Have your separate bank accounts, have the same bank account. Like, this is if the planets are lined up. Mm-hmm. And then after a bunch of years of renting, have enough money to put a substantial money down on a mortgage. That's the perfect way.
Right.
So if you're super young listening to this, there's a order to do these things in. Mm-hmm. But we all just love to mess our lives up, I guess, sometimes.
Apparently we do. Happy you could join us 5 days a week. You can find us right here on The Land Academy Show.
Tomorrow, the episode of The Land Academy Show is called Failing Repeatedly. It's the first requirement to stay on course. You are not alone in your real estate ambition. It's just full of happiness and happy titles to... week of the year.
What the heck? Those are not what I thought we talked about. Gee. Man, but thank you for staying with us on this. This episode was a journey. I think we covered about 4 episodes in one on this.
Really?
We did. We went. We were like, it was like all over a little path, but that's okay. Again, this was a journey show. Thank you for tuning in. We hope you find our content valuable, and we appreciate your support. If you haven't already, please zip on over to our YouTube channel and please hit the subscribe button.
Your comments and suggestions help us to create the type of content you're here for. Hitting the like button on your favorite episodes helps to support our channel's algorithm and gauge your interest in future shows.
We're Steve and Jill.
Information
and inspiration
to buy undervalued property.